Praise God. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study and prayer. Good to have you with us online. Amen. Of course, our service will go to 8 o'clock, then at 8:15, we'll have corporate prayer. We invite you to stay if you can. And when you stay, by the way, you can stay if you want to pray with us for 10 minutes, that's fine. If you can stay, we'll pray. We won't go past 9 o'clock unless the Holy Ghost falls on us and, you know, whatever. But if you can just stay for 10 minutes, that's fine. If you want to stay the full time, that's fine. And we're mostly going to pray in the Spirit, just however the Lord leads us. All right? Praise God. So that started back corporate prayer after the summer last Wednesday night. And so we are looking forward to that. Praise God. Prayer is vital, and prayer is all prayer. And a corporate prayer is just one type of prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles or whatever you're looking at, people look at different things, you could go ahead and find Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, glory to God. On Wednesday nights, as part of our series, Every Spiritual Blessing is Ours, we are looking at the blessing of healing, because healing belongs to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so I was thinking, Gary told me his testimony, Gary Dalton, a couple of weeks ago, because throughout this series, we've talked about, you know, these things already belong to us. Amen. And so we should, and throughout this series, and particularly talking about healing, but talking about other things, we have emphasized at times the importance of anything that comes your way that's not of God, you ought not to accept it. You ought to resist it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Because people can even be healed by the power of God and go several days. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Go several days and all of a sudden a symptom come back. What should you do when that happens? You should resist it. Amen. So I want Gary to come up here and tell this testimony, but as he does it, this testimony is about resisting, you know, sickness and disease. But listen, sickness and disease is what this is about, but the same principles applies to if you're having a problem with depression, this is what you do. If fear is attacking your mind, this is what you do. If insecurity is attacking your mind, this is what you do. If financial, you know, pressures are attacking your mind, this is what you do. If some kind of sinful habit is attacking, this is what you do. Amen? So, Gary, stand up here because of the camera so that they can see you, you know, people online real good, and share this with us. Thank you.
Okay, a couple, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, Pastor was talking about healing, and one of his comments were near the end was that healing can be lost. And he said people may start getting better, but a pain occurs and they waver, and they lose their healing. And he gave an example of a deaf person who had the hearing restored, but 6 weeks later, they lost their healing. And Pastor also quoted P.C. Nelson, and P.C. Nelson said, more people lose their healing because of a counterattack than any other thing. Satan will come back to you to see if you accept his counterattack. If you don't resist the devil, he will keep his symptoms on you, so we need to refuse to accept the devil's symptoms and resist in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And when the pastor talked about that, that reminded me of something that happened back. It's been probably 14 years ago now, but it actually started beyond that. Back about 30 years ago, I was at visiting with my dad, and we went to the mall to go walking. And we walked around the mall about one time, and all of a sudden, he went down, his right knee collapsed, or went down on him. And I said, what was that? He said, I have a trick knee. And he said, sometimes I wear a brace. And later on, through the years, he began to walk with a cane. And he needed that cane at that point the rest of his life to get along. And so Dad died in 2001. About 7 years later, I'm at work one day just walking around, and all of a sudden, my right knee collapsed just like my dad did. Exact same knee as his. Mm-hmm. His right knee collapsed, my right knee collapsed. I said, what was that? What's going on? I didn't think anything more about it. A few days later, I'm walking around, my knee, right knee collapsed again. And when it happened with my dad, I recognized it as an attack of the devil. when it happened to me, I didn't pick up on it that quickly. But it went on for several weeks. One day I'm out walking at work. My knee went down. And somebody I work with saw it and made a comment. And at that point I realized, hey, I've got to do something about this. It's time to stop being passive and actively resist this.
Yes.
What's happening. And so I don't remember if I said it right at that particular moment or later, but I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off my knee. You weak-kneed devil, get out of my body. Amen. And that's what I said. Well, a couple days later, here again at work, and always happened at work, my knee collapsed or went down. I said the same thing. I didn't change my confession at all. I just said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my body. Take your hands off my knee. It was interesting what happened from that point on. It came back a couple days later, and then after that, about another 4 days, it came back again. I said the same thing. About a week after that particular point, it came back again. I said the same thing. About 2 weeks after that point, it came back again. And I said the same thing. Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off my knee, get out of my body. And you notice, if you've been paying attention to the time interval here, each time it came back was about twice as long as the previous interval. So it came back after 2 weeks after the other, came back at 1 week, 2 weeks, and then after the 2 week, about a month after that, it came back again. I said the same thing. About 2 or 3 months after that, it happened again. I said the same thing. Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my body. And it got funny. To me, it became humorous because I recognized what was happening. And I don't remember exactly when it stopped. But I know it went, I think the last time it happened at about 3 months, and then probably about 6 months after that particular point, it happened again. And I don't think it ever happened after that particular point. But it just went away after, you know, we went through the progress. But the Bible says, Jesus said, if a demon's cast out, it goes through the dry places looking for a place to stay. Yes. If he doesn't find one, he'll come back to where he left.
Yes, that's the principle.
And every time I cast it out, it kept trying to come back, and I wouldn't let it. And so I encourage you, if something's attacking your body, don't give up. Don't let it come back.
Amen. Well, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Well, what if he hadn't resisted? What if he hadn't resisted? But he did resist. Thank God. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise God. That's a wonderful testimony. He's got a bunch of them because he's a doer of the word. Amen. Healing belongs to us. And so, like I said, we're studying that particular aspect of every spiritual blessing on Wednesday nights. And so what we're doing is we're looking at 8 things you need to know about divine healing. Not knowing any one of these or any combination of them, but just not knowing one of them can tremendously hinder people from being healed. Glory to God. So far we've looked at 5 of these. And tonight we want to look at number 6. And here it is, number 6 of the 8 things you need to know is know that it is God's will to heal you because sickness comes from Satan and not from God. You need to know that it is God's will to heal you because sickness comes from Satan and not from God. Now, I know we can kind of just let these things go in one ear and out the other or say, oh, I've heard that. But, you know, anytime somebody questions the will of God, they're not going to be healed. You have to be fully persuaded that it is God's will to heal you. And if somebody thinks because of their traditions, because of their past, that, well, maybe God's using this sickness to mature me, maybe God's in this, then it's going to hinder them greatly. Amen? So know that it's God's will to heal you, because sickness comes from the devil and not from God. God doesn't want us. He doesn't want His children to have anything that comes from the devil. Yeah. Amen. And we should resist. Everybody say resist. Anything that comes from the devil. If Brother Gary had thought, well, now maybe God's trying to teach me here. Maybe, God, I'm going to limp around for the rest of my life and just patiently endure this. And people are going to say, oh, what a champion you are. This is, you know, for the glory of God. On and on and on and on and on. You know, if he'd have done any of that and not resisted it, then he may be crippled up today. But thank God he's not. Amen. So Acts chapter 10, verse number 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good and healing. Healing is good. Jesus went about doing good, not evil. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everyone that Jesus healed in his ministry was oppressed by the devil. Every sickness, every disease, every blind person, every maimed person, every person with problems of arthritis or whatever the disease was, you know, leprosy, great diseases, small diseases, every disease that Jesus healed was there because of the devil, and he came to destroy the works of the enemy. Glory to God. Sickness and disease is satanic oppression. So let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verse number 11, Luke 13, verse 11. Or we can back up to verse 10, actually. Luke 13, verse number 10. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. You know, she had some type of rheumatoid arthritis, but she couldn't even straighten herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he said to her, he called to her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, you know, we won't go into this, but the Pharisees and the ruler of the synagogue, they didn't like that. But in verse number 16, Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years she's been bound with this sickness and disease. Shouldn't she be loosed from her bond, even on the Sabbath or on the Sabbath?" Well, so this woman, Jesus says, was oppressed by the devil. She was bound by the devil. And this sickness in no way blessed her. It in no way helped her. It in no way made her develop and mature, nor did it bring glory to God. If this sickness was helping her in some way and blessing her in some way, then Jesus robbed her of her blessing by healing her. But that's foolish, isn't it? He didn't rob her, he blessed her. See, her sickness was not a blessing, it was a curse. And then her sickness did not glorify God in any way because she patiently endured it. Notice verse number 13 says, "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." It was her healing that caused God to be glorified, not her sickness. And you read that over and over again in the New Testament. Her sickness, as in all sicknesses, was a curse, not a blessing. I said it was a curse, not a blessing. And when Jesus healed her, he was healing her of satanic oppression. Satan is the one that bound her, and he was destroying the works of the devil. You know that scripture, 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy." Now, the word destroyed actually means to undo or to put an end to the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to undo the works of the devil. He was manifested to put an end to the works of the devil. When Jesus healed her, he put an end to the works of the devil in her life. Amen. Glory to God. He undid the works of the devil because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, this is so very, very important because, again, we should resist and not accept anything that comes from the devil. If we just passively roll over, now sometimes people passively roll over because they don't know any better, but sometimes people don't, you know. One healing evangelist back in the days of the tent revivals, and this is when people had tents that would seat 10,000 people. You know, Oral Roberts had a tent that would seat 20,000. Jack Coe had one that would seat 2,200 people, you know, 22,200, because he wanted to have one bigger than Oral Roberts. So his would seat 22,000 plus another 200. Amen. Well, no comment there, but... Amen. Well, but one of those well-known tent evangelists, healing evangelists, seeing miracles on a nightly basis. A tornado come through, a storm came through, and knocked down his tent. And he said to the people, you know, raising money to get a new tent because they were expensive. He said, "Well, I don't know if God did it or the devil did it." Well, God's not in the business of blowing down tents where there's people are getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost on a nightly basis. Glory to God. See, if people have any kind of notion at all that God wants them to be sick, that will work against them from receiving their healing. They won't resist it. They won't stand against it like they should. Are you listening to me? So we must know that it is absolutely God's will for us to be healed. And one reason we know it is because sickness comes from the devil and not from God. I heard this years ago, and I never have forgot it, but somebody said, I don't remember who now, said there are three places we can clearly see the will of God. Number one, you can clearly see the will of God in the Garden of Eden. Well, it's quite obvious that there was no sickness nor disease in the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, a man was created to live forever. Sin didn't come into the world. The curse didn't come into the world. Sickness didn't come into the world until Adam and Eve sinned, you know, and in essence bowed their knee to the devil, turned their back on God. And so so man was supposed to live forever. Glory to God. That was God's will. It was, what do we call it? Paradise. There's no sickness and disease in the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, man didn't even know how to die. That's why they used to, this isn't symbolic. People used to live to be 800 years old, 900 years old, and as old as Methuselah. Until God came along and God set man's age. You know what he set it at? 120, not 70 or 80. That's found in Psalm 90 that's talking to the Israelites wandering in the desert. And Moses is saying, some of you are dying because you're not going into the promised land. You know, you only have the promise of 70 or 80 years. But God set man's lifespan at 120 years. But before that, it took a long time for him to die. They didn't know how to die. So you can clearly see the will of God concerning health and healing in the Garden of Eden. Number two, you can clearly see it in the ministry of Jesus. For instance, Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And we read it over and over and over again. The great crowds followed his ministry, and then when they came to him to be healed, he healed them all, or he healed all manner, all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. That's what Jesus, those were the works of Jesus, teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what he did, teaching, preaching, and healing. And then he sent his 12 disciples, you know, what do we know as the 12 apostles. He sent them out and commissioned them in part to preach the gospel, but he also told them to heal the sick. He set them against sickness and disease. And in the Great Commission, he told us all to lay hands on the sick so that they would recover. Again, Acts 10:38, the ministry of Jesus. We're talking about how can you know the will of God? You can see it concerning healing and health. You can see it in the Garden of Eden. You can see it in the ministry of Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then number three, we can clearly see God's perfect will in heaven. Glory to God. How many of you expect to see sick people in heaven? How many of you expect to see? No, you misunderstood what I was saying. There's not going to be any sickness in heaven. We all know that. Amen. Glory. I tricked you the way I said it. I'm sorry. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Hallelujah. And then in 22, verse number 3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the Lamb of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him there. Glory to God. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no decay in heaven. There's no danger in heaven. There's no devil in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Makes you want to go today. Except we need to stick around and do what God's called us to do. Can you say amen? So in the Garden of Eden, in the ministry of Jesus, and in heaven, we see God. Why would we think anything else? We see God's perfect will is healing and health. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, sickness is of the devil. You know, we just read there'll be no more curse. But you see, sickness is part of the curse. It's part of the curse that came on the earth when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and it's also part of the curse of the law, part of the curse for not obeying God and living for God. And so, you know, Deuteronomy 28 lays that out for us. It lists several sicknesses and diseases. You're well aware of that. And then at the end, it even says, in every sickness and every disease that's not named in this book is part of the curse. So every sickness and every disease known to man and unknown to man is under the curse of the law. But thank God, Galatians 3:13 says Christ came to redeem us, to set us free from, to rescue us from, to deliver us from, to pay the price so that we can go free from the curse of the law. Christ came to rescue us and deliver us and set us free from the curse of any sickness and every sickness and disease known to man. Glory to God. And then we need to realize this, sickness is evil. Well, God is good. God doesn't have anything to do with evil. Remember in James, it says, let no man say when he's being tempted of evil, tempted and tested and tried of evil, that evil comes from God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing what? He went about doing good and healing. 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 Healing is good. Sickness and disease is evil. It's just that simple. Amen. When Jesus healed the sick, he was what? Number one, he was destroying the works of the devil. That is, he was undoing the works of the devil in their life. He was putting an end to the work of the devil in their life. He was freeing them from satanic oppression, and he was doing good. He was overcoming evil in their lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I like this story. Luke 6, verse number 6. You can see it on the overhead. They'll put it up for you. Luke 6, 6. Says, now it happened on another Sabbath also that when he entered the synagogue and taught, you know, the Bible emphasizes his teaching ministry more than anything else. When you teach the Word of God, you're doing the works of Jesus. Did you know that? And when people hear the truth and it makes them free, great and mighty things happen. Says he went about. It had happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy life? And when he had looked around them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Jesus asked, is it right to do good or evil? Is it right to save life or destroy life? Well, obviously, the answer is we should do good. We should save life. And then Jesus healed the man. When Jesus healed the man, he was doing good. The sickness and disease that had caused, whatever it caused his hand to be withered, was evil. It was satanic oppression. It was from the devil. It was not God. It was not good. It was evil. And Jesus undid the works of the devil in this man's life. Amen. Healing is good. Sickness is evil. Healing saves lives. Sickness destroys life. Healing is a blessing. Sickness is a curse. I mean, it's just as clear as it can possibly be. Sickness is a curse that's of the devil, and it's an enemy. You know, even medical science knows sickness and disease is an enemy of mankind. So some people almost act like they're against medical science. They're fighting against the same things we're fighting against. I'm not against them. Thank God for it. You know, Many of them pray themselves before they do a surgery or before they treat people. Many of them are Christians. Many of them thank God for the medical advancements that help people, because sickness is an enemy. I like to set this up. I'll have to tell you something about it. But, you know, polio used to be a tremendous killer in this nation, just in the last 150 years. In the 1900s to the 1950s, polio was a major concern and a major problem in the United States of America. Matter of fact, there was a polio epidemic in the 50s. This is all before, we don't hear about it today because we have a vaccine for polio. But there was no vaccine for polio in those days. And even our president, you know, in the 1930s and 40s, President Roosevelt was paralyzed from the waist down because of polio. And so in the 50s, because of this outbreak of polio, there was tremendous efforts to raise money for a cure, tremendous efforts to make people aware, tremendous efforts, to raise money because we want to know how to treat this. We want to know how to prevent this. We need money to research this. We need money to make you aware of this. And so on an old March of Dimes, everybody know the March of Dimes, you know? On an old March of Dimes poster to fighting against polio, there was a sign that used to say, "Help us raise money to fight this enemy." Another one said, "Help us to raise money to fight this menace." They recognized that polio was a curse, not a blessing. But, you know, in the light of these scriptures, how can some people in the church teach that, oh, this is some way for your good? This is God blessing you. This is God helping you. God's teaching you something. This is God maturing you. No, it's a curse. It's a menace. It's an enemy. Even the world knows that. Amen. So don't ever think. All sickness is demonic oppression. All sickness is evil, and healing is good. It's a blessing. All sickness is a curse, but healing is a blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. So don't ever think for one minute there's any value in sickness or disease whatsoever. It is the enemy of God. It is the enemy of mankind, and Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost to set people free from satanic oppression, from every sickness and every disease. And of course, you know the scripture, John 10:10, is Jesus said, "I've come that the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have a life and that you might have it more abundantly." If anything steals, kills, and destroys, it's sickness and disease. How many of you are glad Jesus undid the works of the devil in your life? In all areas, not just this area, but in all areas. Amen. That ought to be a continual confession. You know, there was a man, maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't, because time's getting away from us, you know, from when he lived on the earth. But John Alexander Dowway tells the story. I want to read it from his own words. I've read this from other people's stories about him, but I've got from his own diary here. He tells a story about how he came to realize, how I came into healing. In other words, where I started praying for the sick and realizing that sickness was of the devil and that it wasn't of God. You know, because sometimes people have these questions, how I came against it and stood against it, and he got no results. He was burying church members, but when he found out the truth, he started getting them healed. Amen. But just to give you a little background here, Dowie lived and ministered in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. He was noted for incredible faith. I mean, incredible faith. Now, he actually started Zion City, Illinois, a whole city. And there were a lot of tremendous ministers that we're familiar with that came out of Zion, Illinois. The Bosworth brothers. You know, F.F. Bosworth wrote the wonderful book, Christ the Healer. And if memory serves me right, even Gordon Lindsay came out of Zion City. They lived there, and there were others. Well, now, Alexander Dowie was mightily used of God, and great miracles flowed out of his ministry, and so mightily used, I guess he, you know, opened the door of the devil, and so his doctrine kind of got off in his latter years. And so P.C. Nelson, you know, that we quote a lot, P.C. Nelson said, "Well, you can't follow Dowie's doctrine necessarily, but you can always follow his faith." And P.C. Nelson said that because he said, "I was a personal witness to this." And P.C. Nelson, as I've told you before, I think Brother Hagin would consider him his spiritual father. He was an extremely educated man. He was highly respected and very credible. And so here's an eyewitness report from one of the most educated men in the world at the time that he lived, who's very credible, who's very intelligent. He said he personally saw Dowie minister to a man with a purplish-blue cancerous growth. He said this thing just covered, you know, half his face and over to the other side. And he said, in the presence of myself and six denominational ministers and three medical doctors, I saw Dalway reach up and grab hold of that growth and snatch it off in the name of Jesus. How many tumors have you snatched off in the name of Jesus? Well, that's pretty bold faith, isn't it? I said, that's pretty bold faith, isn't it? Be healed. Glory to God. Expect that thing to fall. No, he just reached up and snatched it off. Glory to God. Eyewitness. Can you get any better testimony than that? From a credible witness. And he said the doctors immediately examined him and they said his skin was like that of a newborn baby. Well, like I said, Dalway was noted for being a man of unusual faith, strong faith. Here's his testimony, because he didn't know. He said, I sat in my study in the parsonage of the Congregational Church at Newtown, a suburb of the beautiful city of Sydney, Australia. If memory serves right, this is in 1885. My heart was very heavy, for I had visited the sick and dying beds of more than 30 of my flock. They were in the midst of a plague, the bubonic plague, and people were dying like crazy. He said, I had cast the dust, the dirt, to its kindred dust into more than 40 graves within a few weeks. He's buried 40 members of his own church members. Think about that. Where was he who used to heal his suffering children? No prayer for healing seemed to reach his ear, and I knew his hand had not been shortened. Still, it did not save from death even those for whom there was much in life to live for God and others. Strong men, fathers, good citizens, more than all, true Christians sickened with a putrid fever, suffered nameless agonies, passed into delirium, sometimes with convulsions, and then died. Oh, what aching voids were left in many a widowed or orphaned heart. There were many homes where one by one the little children, the youths, and the maidens lay stricken. And after a hard struggle with the foul disease, they too lay cold and dead. It seemed sometimes if I could almost hear the triumphant mockery of evil ringing in my ear whilst I spoke to the bereaved ones the words of Christian hope and consolation. Disease, the foul offspring. Now he's saying this because he realizes this later in life. Disease, the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin, was defiling and destroying the earthly temples of God's children, and there was no deliverance. Now here's the part of the story that many people are familiar with. He said, I sat with my head buried in my face for my afflicted people. Bitter tears rolled down my cheek. Then I prayed for some message, and oh, how I longed to hear some words from him who wept and sorrowed for the suffering long ago, a man of sorrows and sympathies. He's talking about Jesus. Then the words of the Holy Ghost inspired in Acts 10:38 came to my mind. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And it wasn't just that he saw that scripture, it was illuminated to him, and just instantly he got a revelation of what that meant. Amen. He said, it stood before me, revealing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. My tears were wiped away. My heart strong. I saw the way of healing, and the door thereto was opened wide. So I said, God, help me now to preach to all the dying around and to tell them how Satan still defies and Jesus still delivers. He is just the same today. Well, at that very moment, a loud ring and several raps on the outer door, a rush of feet, and there at my store stood two panting messengers who said, come at once. Mary is dying. Come and pray. With just a feeling as a shepherd who hears the sheep are being torn from the fold by a cruel wolf, I rushed from my house, ran without my hat down the street, and entered the room of the dying maiden. There she lay groaning and grinding her clenched teeth in the agony of conflict with the destroyer. The white froth mingled with her blood, oozing from her pale and distorted mouth. I looked at her, and then my anger burned. Oh, I thought for some sharp word. I need a sharp word to help me here, to slay this cruel foe. In a strange way, I got my sharp word. Now, you've never heard part of this testimony, but you'll recognize it because you've heard this. I found the sword I needed was in my hands, and it came from somebody I didn't expect. Suspect the doctor, a good Christian man, was quietly up, walking up and down the room, sharing the mother's pain and grief. Presently, he stood at my side, looking at her, and looked over at me, said, "And sir, are not God's ways mysterious?" Instantly, the sword was flashed in my hand, the spirit sword, the word of God, God's way. I said, pointing to the scene of conflict, "How dare you call that God's work of bringing his children home from earth to heaven?" Now, do you recognize the story? How dare you call that God's work? See, he just had this revelation. This is from the devil, and Jesus is the healer. How dare you call that God's work? No, sir, this is the devil's work, and it's time we called on him who came to destroy the work of the devil, to slay the deadly foul destroyer, and to save this child. Can you pray, doctor? Can you pray the prayer of faith that saved the sick? At once, offended at my words, my friend was changed and looked at me and said, "You are too much excited, sir. It's best to say God's will be done," and he left the room. Excited? The word was quite inadequate, for I was almost frenzied with divinely imparted anger and hatred of the foul destroyer disease which was doing Satan's will. "It is not so," I exclaimed. "No will of God sends such cruelty, and I never say God's will be done to Satan, and I never will say God's will be done to Satan's work. And with God's own son come to destroy, he's come to destroy the work of the devil, and this is one of them. Oh, how the word of God was burning in my heart. Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and was God not with me? And was not Jesus there and all his promises true? I felt that it was even so, and turning to the mother, I inquired, 'Why did you send for me?' To which she answered, 'Oh, do pray, please pray for her, that God may raise her up.' So we prayed." And he says, "I don't remember the exact prayer I prayed back in those days, but I called on God in the name of Jesus to destroy the foul works of the devil and to raise this little girl up. We claim the promise now. The word of God is true. You don't change. You're the Lord that heals." And I said, "Save the sick. I trust in you alone," I cried out. "Oh, save her now. Heal her now in Jesus' name." Then the maiden went to a deep sleep, so deep that the mother asked me in a low whisper, "Is she dead?" "No," I answered in a whisper lower still, "Mary will live. The fever is broken. The fever is gone. She is perfectly well and sleeping as an infant sleeps." I was smothering the long dark hair from her now peaceful brow and feeling the steady pulsation of her heart and cool moist hands. I saw that Christ had heard and that once more, as long ago in Peter's house, he touched her and the fever left her. Turning to the nurse, I said, "Give me at once, please, a cup of cocoa and several slices of bread and butter." Beside the sleeping maid, we sat quietly and almost silently until the nurse returned. And then I bent over her and snapped my fingers and said, "Mary." Instantly, she woke and smiled and said, "Oh, sir, when did you come? I've slept so long." Then stretching her arms out to meet her mother's embrace, she said, "Mother, I feel well and hungry too." I asked, pouring some of the cocoa in a saucer and offering it to her, "Yes, hungry too," she answered with a little laugh, and drank and ate again and yet again until all was gone. In a few minutes, she fell asleep, breathing easily and softly, quietly thanking God. We left her bed and went to the next room where her brother and sister also lay sick of the same fever. With these two, we prayed and they were healed also. The following day, all three were well. In a week or so, they brought me a little letter and a gift of gold, two sleeve links with a monogram, which I wore for many years. As I went away from that home where Christ as healer had been victorious, I could not but have somewhat in my heart of the triumphant song that rang through heaven, and yet I was not a little amazed at my own strange doings and still more at my discovery that he is just the same today. Excerpt from the sermons of John Alexander Dowie himself. And from that point on, he didn't lose any more church members. Glory to God. He got the revelation where sickness comes from. Because ministers, Pentecostal ministers in former years have been, "Well, is this the work of God or is this the work of the devil?" Well, you're not going to resist something if you think it's the God. Amen. When Kenneth Hagin tells this story of Alexander Dowie, he adds, "From that day on, Dr. Dowie ministered to his flock on divine healing and prayed for their healing. He never lost another member of the plague." But isn't it strange that the doctor who was a member of Dowie's church would treat people and give them medicine, but when they got beyond the aid of medical science, he called it the will of God? It puzzles me that people will take medicines and do everything they can to get well. But if you suggest that they have someone pray for their healing, they'll say, oh, it may not be God's will to heal me. In other words, why are you taking the medicine then if it's not God's will to heal you? Why are you going to the doctor if it's not God's will to heal you? Why didn't they question the will of God in the first place? If it isn't God's will for them to be well, they shouldn't take any medicine or treatment. They would be out of God's will for trying to get well. I don't mean to discredit the medical profession. Doctors are fighting the same devil we are. I merely want to point out that this is human reasoning and wrong thinking, and it has robbed many people of the blessing of healing and health. Can you say amen? Reminds me of the story he tells, you know, of praying for this lady to call for him to pray for him. She was in bed, you know, not dying, but she was sick. And he said, well, sister, you know, he's just talking to her. He's one of his own members. He said, will you be healed when I lay hands on you and pray for you? He thought she'd say, I certainly will. And she said, well, I will if it's God's will. And I thought, well, I won't if it's not God's will. And so he knew there's no use praying for her under those conditions. Not going to work. So he backed up and began to teach her and tell her, you know, it is God's will, and, you know, and so forth and so on. He said, now, sister, will you be healed if it, when I, she goes, well, I will if it's God's will, and I won't if it's not his will. Well, how can you pray the prayer of faith, which means you're fully persuading, convinced that God hears and answers your prayer when you pray it, if you think, you know, maybe he will? No, you can't. You understand the story. I could go deeper. After about the fourth time, he finally just said to her, he said, well, sister, how are you going to know if it's God's will or not? Well, we know it's God's will because of the word. But she said, I thought you'd just pray, and that's how we're going to do it. If I get an answer, then it's God's will. If I don't get an answer, then I won't get healed. You know, that's where most of the body of Christ is at. And then they don't get an answer, and they think it's not God's will. But it's not going to work. That's not going to work. That prayer is never going to work. Because you can't pray the prayer of faith not knowing that it's God's will to start with. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And so he said, you don't want to just tell her. He said, but I knew laying hands on her. I went ahead and laid hands on her and prayed for her. But he said, I might as well have been saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. He said, but I prayed for her, you know, and he walked over to the side. And he said, I just prayed for her. It hadn't hardly been a minute. And she said, I knew I wouldn't get anything. Told her husband, call the doctor. Well, that kind of prayer is not going to work. Amen. When any person, like Dalway did, realizes that Satan, not God, is the source of sickness and disease, they will begin to treat sickness and disease just like they treat sin and the devil. They will resist it, and they will never accept it as being God's will. Amen. God's will. And of course, when you know it's God's will, then you're ready to use your faith. God's will is that we be healed and whole and healthy. Can you say amen? Healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Stand up with me. Praise God. Aren't the ways of God mysterious? We just don't understand. And it's good for preachers, because then you don't have to have any answer. I mean, we know he's good. We know he's God, and he would, you know, but he doesn't. Dalway didn't take to that. How dare you call this the will of God? How dare you accuse my father of causing this person to suffer such a misery? It's the work of the devil. It's oppression. It's a curse, and it's evil. Healing is the work of God. It's good. It's a blessing. And it undoes the work of the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do if your knee goes like that? You're going to say, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What if you're going to do a fear attacks your mind? You're going to say, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most people, I find, his testimony is going to be very similar to Gary's. You may have to resist 50 times the first day, the first week. But then it kind of goes away, and then it went away, and then it went away, and then it stayed longer, and then it stayed longer, till it never came back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and thank God for health and healing? Thank you, Father. Glory to God. We have the revelation, Father. We see, as we've never seen before, that healing is your will, and that all sickness and disease is satanic oppression, a curse. It's the works of the devil. and we don't have to put up with it, and we should not put up with it for 1 minute in the name of Jesus. We can confidently and boldly pray for people and ask you to heal them, because it is your will to heal. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. So be healed and be well in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, it's 8 o'clock on the dot. We did better than we did last week. So in about 15 minutes, we'll start prayer. Invite you to stay if you can. Glory to God, and we'll just pray however the Spirit of God leads us. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.